For the last 100 years and more, the Ahern family have been associated with shipping in Yall. One member of that family was on the quayside to welcome home the Kathleen and May when she dropped anchor at 12 noon on Monday last, August the 27th. Patrick Ahern remembers his times aboard the Kathleen and May.
Well, the Nellie Fleming was tied up for the winter. I had been in the Nellie Fleming for several years, and she was tied up for the winter. And she came for general survey in the spring of the year. And her foremast was condemned. It was rotten at the deck level. And it required an awful lot of work and everything else to get this mess down and everything else. And I tell you the truth, I didn't want it. And I knew that there was a berth coming up in the Kathleen and May when she came to the Yall. She was owned then, or in Appledore, I should say. That's only about 5 or 6 miles from Biddeford. And I waited. I refused the job of the mast in the Nellie Fleming. And I waited, and I got a job on the Kathleen and May when she came in. And I was in the Kathleen and May then under Tommy Jewell. I was never with Captain Joe Ahern in her. I was in the Nellie Fleming under Captain Joe Ahern, but never in the Kathleen and May. I'd say about 1934.
To join the Kathleen?
Yeah.
Right.
About 1934, that way I'd say. I was 6 years in her, and I came over from 1934, say.
Right.
I was able seaman in her for 2 years when I first joined her, and I was mate of her for 4 years. When I first joined her, Tommy Jewell's brother, the owner and master, his brother was a mate. And they had a falling out, and he left her, Lynn Jewell left her, and I got a job as mate.
Patrick, can I ask you, what exactly was going through your mind when you first caught sight of her as she rounded the corner on Easter Point last Monday?
Thinking of all the poor fellas that I knew that were in her, that they're all dead and gone. Great seamen they were. The all men were noted for that. And things like that. And I'll tell you the truth now. When I went aboard her first, unknowns to myself, I took off my cap and stooped down and I kissed the rail.
Did you?
And I got ashamed of my life.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't know I was even doing it. Until I had it done.
When she came round Easter Point and when you saw her, was she the same way? Did she look the same as when you remembered it all those years ago?
Well, when she came around the Easter Point now, Anne and myself and Sheila went out to Mulgoggin's Corner to see her coming in. And they were saying, here she is. And I said, that's not her. I didn't recognise her.
You didn't recognise her? She was so different.
She was so different, so small and miserable looking. And there were little thin masts on her. And, you know, there was nothing to her, you know, compared with what they used to be.
Yes, of course, she came in completely devoid of sails.
Yes, of course, she motored in, yeah.
Yeah, she motored in. Yeah. But you were on her the night the Nellie went down.
We had gone into Milford 2 days earlier with bad weather. And the wind came fair. And there were 6 or 7 vessels, mostly Appledore captains in them and that, you know. And they used to come aboard to Kathleen and May because she was very comfortable. And I want a time, I remember, when about 8 o'clock and there was a moon in the sky at that time. But there was fleeting cloud. And we had to have an anchor watch. We see we were to an anchor in Angle Bay, and we had to have an anchor watch. And the fellow, poor old Mick Munn, God rest him, he was at the AB, he was on watch, and I was nearest the companion for to go up on deck, and I heard the voices coming along the deck. And it was 3 or 4 skippers. And they met by the main hatch. And I heard Tommy Jewell say, "We'll be across to the Irish land by daylight." And several voices spoke up. One was Captain Shaw, a great old seaman. He was owner and master of the, I forget her name, it'll come to me in a minute. And he said, "No, Tommy," he said, "leave it alone. The glass is low and the forecast isn't good. Now we know wireless. The forecast isn't good. Leave it alone till morning and we'll see what it's like in the morning and we'll have the daylight going across." And he said, Tommy said, "Oh, bugger that," he says, we'll go out tonight, we'll be across the Irish land by morning." That's how we went out. And we went out Milford Harbour that night, and I remember down under St. Anne's Light, he went down to get the weather forecast, and he came up and he said, "A vicious storm. So what are you going to do?" And we were running now out for Scomer, to go around Scomer to steer the course for the Irish coast. "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I don't know, we'll never go." So we were going anyhow. And there was an old fellow boarder right that time by the name of Alec Ross, an old Appledore man. And he kicked up murder with Tommy. He said, "You want to lose it? Do you want to drown the lot of us?" He said, "We go back in." So Tommy hauled to and we went back in. And we were all night beaten back the few miles that we had sailed out, because the wind and tide were against us then, you see.
I see.
And we were going back. And the weather was getting so bad that we couldn't see St. Anne's Light. That's the light now going into Milford Haven. The harbour light, like.
Right.
And Tommy Jewell says to me, "Pa," he said, "will you go aloft there a bit on the rigging, on the mizzen rigging, and see, could you see any sign of St. Anne's Light?" Now, I'd be above then the spindrift of the water. The water was flying, see. I'd be above at night of a clear view.
Yes. See.
Now, the moon was in the sky, but it was overcast. And I went aloft about 15, 20 feet. And I hung on there as best I could. She was heaving and tossing around. And I hung on as best I could anyhow, and I watched. Could I see the light? And because I spotted the light. And I shouted down the bairn as loud as I could, you know, and took the position of the light from the where the ship's bow was, you know. And I came back down on the deck. Coming back down on the deck, I had a look again to make sure. And I saw a schooner. Now, she was heading in for the land. She was on the port tack, the starboard tack. And she had a mast missing out of her. I could see that. There was so much stern, blank,
yes,
bare stern.
You definitely had a mast missing.
Mast was missing. And I presume from that day to this day that that was an Eliflemon I saw.
But only for the Kathleen and May being fitted with an engine at the time, she would have probably undergone the same fate.
We'd have gone too, yeah. We couldn't have got back. Went back into Milford. And I remember we went up to Angle Point and we let go of the two anchors and we stopped there until the high water, and we hove up to anchors and we went into Angle. Then you take the ground there then, you see, on soft mud. Be quite, quite happy there for maybe 7 or 8 hours a day, you know.
Yes.
You see, a day now that is. We got fair weather.
Yeah.
And we came out and we came across, and according as we were coming, the sea was getting the big roll. She was rolling around, and not much wind there, only just barely keeping the sails full at times. And there was five or six other vessels behind us coming too.
We were
leading the way. And we came to the Conning Big Lightship. That's down off Waterford and up Waterford Harbour. Now it was only that distance from Waterford to Yall distance, and he wouldn't chance it.
Wouldn't he?
He'd be cut out, because when we got up to Yall, the tide would be low and we'd have to haul off and keep off until the tide rose. But We went into Milford then, and I say we were 7 or 8 days inside. Ballyhack.
Waterford, yes.
Waterford. In the Wexford side. And we went in there, and we were about 7 or 8 days in there. And we got a slant on the wind, and we came out, and we came up, and all the vessels behind us, other vessels. And the Margaret Hobble had a more powerful engine than us, and she passed us and came into the harbour before us. And she went into Whitespert, that's where the Kathleen and Mayor was now, at a single slip. And we came in to the middle berth, and there was a crowd of people on the quay. But before we got into the berth proper, we took the ground, which the rising tide, you see, we took the ground about 20 feet off from the quay. And there was two women on the quay, I'll never forget it. Mikey Duggan's daughter and Bet Aglaben's daughter. Now, Bet Aglaben's daughter was about to be married. And poor old Mick Munn was the AB with us and the Kathleen. Now, he was a cook, an ordinary seaman. I was the AB. And she shouted, Bet Aglaben's daughter shouted, Mick, did you see the Nelly at all? And Mick said, isn't she up in Cap o' Quinn? And she let a screech out of her.
After the tragic loss of the Nelly Fleming, Patrick Ahern was to spend another 2 years on board the Kathleen and May as she sailed to and from Yall. Then Patrick and the Kathleen and May parted company, and Patrick joined a ship, this time a Spanish ship, called the Rio Dorado.